As many of you know from last week, that Luke, the third chapter, deals with the man, John the Baptist. I opened up the class last week with kind of a word association game. I say John the Baptist, and you say, and so you had an opportunity to give what was on your heart, what you were thinking about vis-a-vis John the Baptist. And some of your answers were, I said John the Baptist, some said herald of the Messiah, others said prophet in the wilderness, some said a strange guy, ate wild locusts and wore camel hair. Some said preacher of repentance. Some said he was the baptizer in the wilderness. What nobody said, and what I was amazed at the fact that nobody said, is that Jesus proclaimed of John the Baptist in Matthew 11:11 that he was the greatest man born of woman. Now, you would have thought that would have been the top of our thinking cap. But try to put that into perspective for just a little bit. Not Abraham, not Moses, not Isaac, not Daniel, not fill in the blank. Jesus said of John the Baptist, none greater born of woman than this one that we talk about today, John. That's pretty high accolades. It makes us really stop and think and to meditate for a couple of weeks on some of the things that he said and some of the things that he did. I told you last week that we were going to focus on two major areas of John's ministry. One, his preaching of repentance, and we did that last week, how repentance is the missing word in the Christian vocabulary today. And several of you were very kind in emailing me saying thanks, we needed that. And we talked about how little repentance preaching there is today and how we noted that Jesus opened his ministry preaching repentance. The other thing that I said we would talk about, and we didn't get that opportunity last week, but we will this week, is this whole thing about baptism. And this may be mundane to you, but it should not be, because I am convinced most are confused about baptism in Christianity today. In England, you got 28 million baptized Anglicans, and you got about 2.4 million that occasionally go to church. In Latin America, 88% of the human population have been baptized, and a very, very, very small percent go to church. So there are some misconceptions as to what baptism is and what it confers, what it does. And not just in other groups, in our group as well. People come and join the Baptist church, and first thing they say is, do I have to be baptized? Not understanding some of the what, when, how, where, and whys that we will cover today. We look in Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 21, and it says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. How many of you ever heard a sermon on baptism? I mean a complete sermon on baptism. Not too many hands are up. Not too many. Not too many. I preached one maybe 20 years ago, but not too many sermons on baptism. What is it? Where do you do it? When do you do it? Why do you do it? Kind of like a doctrinal perspective. There are some things that need to be said on this topic that I'm gonna say them today, and maybe it will clear the air for some of you. Most of us know somebody that are confused on this topic. If you're not confused, most of us know somebody said, not me. I'm not going to Baptist church. They want to dunk me. Very confused on this topic. Here's a fuller explanation of what took place with John and Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all of Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. We talked about that last week. Don't just do something. Show that you've been changed. Do an about face. Having done an about face, hey, Ben's right to be baptized. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? And Jesus answered, saying unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him. In John 1:25 it says, And they asked John, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ? And he answered in verse 31 and said, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I come baptizing with water. So we got this topic of baptism that is somewhat confusing oftentimes, and I'm going to take a shot at some of the why, what, when, and where's on the topic. Let's start just with just why. Why should a human being be baptized? Someone, just simple. Yeah, Charles? That's true, but I'm going to back it up before that. Yes, Anita. Obedience. Obedience to who? Jesus. Jesus said, be baptized. The Great Commission. You go to the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore, teaching all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the why for the Christ being is because Jesus commanded. And we'll come back to the why in just a second. But the why is it going to resonate if we don't have the what is it down? What is baptism? Someone want to try to define it? Tell us what it is? Yeah, well, I see it every single week. I know what it is. Well, try to put it in words. What is baptism? Yes. Say it again, please. A symbol. It is indeed. Romans, I think, 6:4. Symbol of his death, burial, and resurrection. Yes, in the back. Okay, declaration of repentance and acceptance of Jesus. Somebody else, what is it? Yes, in the back. Public identification of follower of Christ. Okay, somebody else. What is it? You're all on track. Let me make it a little more simplistic than that. Well, first let's back up. Here it is out of the Baptist Faith and Message. Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior, the believer's death to sin, the burial to the old life, and the resurrection to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. It is a testimony to his faith in the final resurrection of the dead. Being a church ordinance, it is a prerequisite to the privileges of church membership and to the Lord's Supper. That's the Baptist definition of baptism, which is much more comprehensive than Webster's dictionary. Webster's dictionary would be ambiguous. It would say baptism is a Christian rite using water for ritual purification. Well, which is it? Baptism, what is it? By the way, here's part of the reason why this is so confusing to so many. Baptism, the English word, comes from the Greek word baptismo, which is very, very similar to our English word. You got baptismo, the Greek word, and you got the English word baptism. And it's not a translation of the Greek word. It is a very unique beast. It is a transliteration of the Greek word. They didn't translate. The old King James scholars did not translate this Greek word. They transliterated this Greek word and gave it an English sound. You know some Greek words. The Greek word agape is the English word love. Love. You know some Hebrew words. The Hebrew word shalom is the English word peace. But we didn't translate this Greek word. We transliterated it. We gave it a word that has an English sound, but we didn't translate it. And you might ask yourself the question, why? The answer is because we didn't want to. The answer is because it would have been so offensive if we would have translated the real meaning of the word. Well, what's the real meaning of the word, Brother Chuck? Any of you know? The real meaning of the word to baptismos is to immerse, to put under, to dip, to dunk, to submerge. Oh, come on, Brother Chuck, that's just Baptist. No, it's not. That is the translation of the Greek word. Let me prove that to you, just in case you think I'm just being Baptist. Here it is from Dean Stanley, prominent Episcopal clergy. For the first 13 centuries, the almost universal practice of baptism was that of which we read in the New Testament, and which is the very meaning of the word baptized, that those who were baptized were plunged, submerged, immersed into the water. The change from immersion to sprinkling has set aside the larger part of the apostolic language regarding baptism and has altered the very meaning of the word. He frankly acknowledges that in the days of Christ and the apostles, the word did not mean to sprinkle, but to immerse. Here it is by John Calvin, the founder of the Presbyterian Church. The very word baptize itself signifies to immerse, and it is given, and it is certain that immersion was observed by the ancient church. Commenting on the baptism of the eunuch, he said, "Here we perceive how baptism was administered among the ancients, for they immersed the whole body in water." John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, commenting on Romans 6:4, said, "We are buried with him," alluding to the ancient manner of baptizing by immersion. Martin Luther, from the Lutheran Church, which we get the Lutheran Church, "For to baptize in Greek is to dip, and baptizing is dipping. Being moved by this reason, I would have those who are to be baptized to be altogether dipped into the water, as the word doth express and as the mystery doth signify." Cardinal Gibbons from the Roman Catholic Church. For several centuries after the establishment of Christianity, baptism was usually conferred by immersion. But since the 12th century, the practice of baptizing by effusion, sprinkling, has prevailed in the Catholic Church, as this manner is attended with less inconvenience than baptism by immersion. Folk, I'm just telling you that theologically, scholastically, men from every denomination would tell you the word means to immerse. There's no leakage there. There's no quibbling there. There's no disagreement there. Scholars from every denomination says the literal meaning of baptism is to go under the water. It pictures his death, burial, and resurrection. So why then, when you have these scholars in the 1600s who were translating the Bible from the Latin and from the Greek into the English so that we could read it, why did they transliterate this word? Somebody take a wild guess. Newsflash, because they were all sprinkling. They would have had to go against a pretty big flow. They were sprinkling. So, hey, let's just make up a word. That's what happened. They were sprinkling. And it begs the question, well, Brother Chuck, how did sprinkling get started? I can't really answer that one. I can tell you dogmatically that the Bible says to baptize, and that baptize means to immerse. I am absolutely 100% convinced that's true. I can tell you that nowhere in the Bible were people baptized to be by sprinkling. I can tell you they sprinkled blood on altars in the Old Testament, but nowhere in the Bible were people baptized for sprinkling. Some traditions say that when Constantine demanded and ordered that all of the Roman world at that time become Christians, that everybody was therefore commanded and documented had to be baptized, and so you had millions of people going to the rivers to be baptized by the priest, and there got to be so many people they just started splashing. True or not true, I don't know. That's just one of the legends. I don't know. I do know this. Every denomination recognizes that the word means to immerse. And somewhere around 1311, it was legalized by the council at Ravenna as a legitimate form of baptism. You say, well, what about the Jews, Brother Chuck? Well, the word baptize has no correlation in the Old Testament. It's the New Testament word. It's used over 100 times in the New Testament. It has no definition in the Old Testament, although the practice of immersing oneself in water for purification was a very real Jewish practice. Maimonides is one of the best-known Jewish writers. It says in the encyclopedia his importance for the religion of science of religion and science of Judaism that his influence, according to the encyclopedia, was second only to Moses. And Maimonides said, if they had been, speaking of the Jewish people, if they had been to the market and mingled with persons ceremonially unclean, they were defiled, and in a laver that holds 40 shias, that's about 60 gallons of water, every defiled man dips himself, and so when a Jew came from the market, he dipped himself in water before he would eat. So the Jews understood the practice of purification by immersion in water. And that's why they didn't have a great quantum leap when John was preaching repentance of sins and in the fact of immersion in water for purification, symbolizing purification. They understood the form, if not the word. They understood that. And so you see the why is that it's commanded of the Lord. You see the what, it's immersion. What is baptism? It is immersion in water. That's what it is. And so it goes to the next question, who is supposed to be baptized? You got the why, Christians, Jesus commands it. You got the what is it? It's not sprinkling. It is immersion. Yes, Bill? Yeah, you're answering my next question. Let me show you that scripturally. In Matthew 28:19, again, the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Let's not use the transliteration. Let's use the interpretation. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, immersing them in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And who do you immerse in water? Those you teach, which are the disciples. And it means, teach means to disciple or to make disciples. And it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded. Who? You're teaching the disciples, those who have believed, those who have trusted. Those are the ones who are to be baptized. It says it like this in Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And so who? Those who believed in the name of Jesus. It says it like this in Acts 18:8. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. It says it like this in Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the answer to the who is supposed to be baptized, very simple, believers. Those who've received the word, those who've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, those are the ones who are to be baptized. Now, what I would tell you to note at this point is not once did I say the infants. The Word of God says absolutely nothing about infants being baptized. The Word of God is very explicit about the who of being baptized are those who have what? Believed. Those who have believed. So why? The Lord commands. What? It's immersion. The who? Those who have believed. Nothing at all about children. Now, at this point, many of you might be just like me thinking, well, maybe I've done it all wrong. At age 7, I got baptized. I was sprinkled in the Methodist Church. I did it because mom and dad said, do it. The Bible says, children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. When I was 19 years old, I got saved. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And so I was baptized before I believed. And I was sprinkled, not immersed. So I'm just telling you, in Brother Chuck's testimony, at the age of 19, I've done some things a little bit backwards, if you will. Hang on, I'll explain the rest of the story in just a moment. Now let's go to the next one. We got the who, we got the why. Let's elaborate on the why a little bit more. Not only did the Lord command it, but why else ought we to be baptized? Charles? That's good, Charles. That's good. Answer of a good conscience towards somebody else. Why? Yes, Jerry. It's the first step of new believers towards obedience. Very good. Somebody else, why? Yes, Maureen. It does please the Father. Very good. Somebody else, why? Bill. It is a testimony. All these are good. Why else? How about because it identifies us with his death, burial, and resurrection? Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Why? Because we are identified with the Lord. Baptism symbolizes historical Christianity. It pictures what Jesus did to provide our salvation. He died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. He rose from the dead. And he guarantees eternal life having been raised from the dead. And we are pictured in his death, burial, and resurrection in going under the water and being raised to the newness of life. Baptism, it symbolizes experiential Christianity. The old self has died to sin. The new self has been raised to walk in a new life with Christ. And baptism symbolizes prophetically that we have an assurance of a future resurrection from the grave. These are the things that baptism symbolizes. It also is a symbol of a good conscience towards God. Matthew 10:32 says, whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before the Father. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father. Baptism is a public profession of our possession of Jesus as Lord. Baptism is not, it's been said, unlike wearing a wedding ring, if you will. The wedding ring on the third finger of my left hand is an identification to you that I have a wife that I love. If I take the wedding ring off, am I still married? Yes, sir. Sure I am. I'm still married. And Betty can put my wedding ring on. Would we be married? No, anybody can put my wedding ring on. Anybody can get baptized, and that doesn't make them a Christian. You understand. But in a very real way, you see the ring on the third finger of my left hand, you can just kind of deduce, well, Brother Chuck's married. He's got a wife that he loves. Now, I know some of you guys don't wear wedding rings. I know some of you would say, well, you know, they're dangerous in the workforce and they get caught on things. And if you know my testimony, I almost lost my finger a few years ago when my wedding ring got caught and it 14 stitches later. You remember that? But here's the rest of that story. About 2 months later, my ring finger is still swollen, and I still got the scar to bear it. Maureen looked at me. She said, why don't you wear a wedding ring? Well, sweetheart, I'm going to get that wedding ring back on. If you don't wear a wedding ring, you leave yourself open to a little bit of public criticism. I've got a wife that I love. I wear the wedding ring. See, I got it on, sweetheart. See that? Hey. Let the Holy Spirit convict as it will, all right? What can I say? So we talked about the what, the who to do it, the how to do it. Let's go to the where and the when. Acts 8:36, the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And as they went their way, they came to a certain body of water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth it hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thou heart, thou mayest. And the eunuch answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he, Philip, commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When? After salvation. After a person has believed. That's when they are baptized. You don't put on a wedding ring before the ceremony. You put on the wedding ring after you've said, I do. You don't get baptized before. You get baptized as a public declaration after you've received Jesus as water. And where? They both went down into the water. I told you that I was baptized when I was 7. I was sprinkled. I was saved when I was 19. I sold in college black history books door to door. That's what I did for a summer job. I did it in Baltimore, Maryland. I knocked on doors in Baltimore, Maryland, and I sold black history books, and I met many, many wonderful people. And I came up to one door, and I had a black preacher answer the door, and we began to talk, and he began to witness to me, and I told him that I had received the Lord the year before, and I had my Bible in my little bookcase to prove it, and I said, I've been reading it every morning. And he said, well, that's wonderful, young man. He said, tell me about your baptism. I said, oh, I got baptized when I was 7 years old. Oh, I was sprinkled in the Methodist church. He said, well, that's wonderful, young man. Bible says children obey your parents. That's a good thing. He said, do you mind if I show you a story? I said, oh, no problem. He breaks out Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He walks through the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and he got to that point. See, here is water. What doth it hinder many baptized? Nothing if thou believest. He said, young man, you see right there, salvation, baptism takes place after salvation. Baptism is by immersion. He said, now when did you get baptized, young man? I said, I guess I need to be baptized. He said, oh, that's right, young man. Aren't you glad it's Wednesday? You can come down to my church tonight. Now, at that point, I didn't say, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. One Lord, one baptism. I realized it's not something I had to do. It's something I got to do. Oh, man, I've been wearing a wedding ring on my third finger, on my pinky finger. I've been all backwards. I've been saved. I've been born again. Jesus is Lord, and I need to be immersed, and I need to do it now after I've been saved. I didn't want to wait till I got home. I said, you bet. Let's go tonight. And in a little inner-city church that was an old movie theater that had been converted into a church, so old that it had, some of you might remember movie theaters that had stages, wooden stages. They had dug out the planks on the wooden stage, and they moved the planks back, and that's where the baptistry was. And somebody's asked me the name. I don't know. The name was 20 words long. Mount Zion Missionary. Da-da-da-da-da. Must have been a Baptist church with a name that long, but I don't know. I was the only salt in a sea of pepper. And that's where I was baptized, folks. To the glory of God, that's where I was baptized. By immersion, after salvation. I hope this testimony helps. I've tried to get the what, when, how, where, and why, because for so many it's so confusing. For so many to say, now that I've come to this church, do I have to be baptized? Well, if you've been sprinkled, good news, you get to be. And these are the reasons why. Maybe you know somebody that's a little bit confused. God, good news, this is on tape. You can go to our computer and show it to them. They can just watch, look, and listen, evaluate, and go to the text that I have referenced here. This is why we baptize by immersion, because it is biblical. And we say we are people of the what? Book. But tradition says, hey, you either got to choose your tradition or choose the book, all right? You're right. Traditionally, human beings in this area have been out of bounds for a long, long time. Why is that? Well, think about it. This is one of the two ordinances of the church. Do any of you know any entity or being that's whole job is to confuse, to counterfeit, to make us get out of bounds? Is anybody... I missed that one. Sometimes I'm glad I'm hard of hearing, but I missed that one. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they say. I didn't argue with you. I just said forgive them. The evil one goes about as a counterfeiter. And it is not surprising that so many are so confused about what is so straightforward in the Word of God. Straightforward. Have you realized that perhaps you too, one came in the first class saying, I've got to process this because I got baptized when I was 13 and I think I was saved after that. Think about it. If you got questions, call me this week. We'll go slower through the text and look at what the Word of God says. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to pause and ponder some of the things that one you said was the greatest man born of woman. Some of the things that he said and some of the things that he did. Father, if there be any of my friends that would be confused about the ordinance of baptism, I pray you'd give them a boldness to give me a phone call so that we could talk about it. so that we could do things decently and in order. You're not the God of confusion. You're the God who first loved us, and you would desire that all things are done decently and in order. And if any of my friends, brothers and sisters, would be confused on this area, I pray we'd get it crystal clear. And if any of my friends have loved ones who are confused on this topic, I pray they'd use this message to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Bless you, brothers and sisters. I love you. Stuart will pick up the fourth chapter next week. God bless you.